If you wish to become more involved with the neighborhood council system and are not on our mailing list, please sign up at the table, at the kiosk, or text the commission to 555-888 for those of who are listening. During the meeting today, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item out of order. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available on the table in the back for those that are here at the meeting. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public will have members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in one-minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period for 5 minutes on the multiple agenda items. If you have a general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, you may provide your comment during the public comments portion of the meeting. Public comments should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Please understand there are applicable laws that limit the actions we may take during today's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you have expressed. However, your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Should you wish to comment at this meeting, please fill out an electronic speaker request on the speaker card kiosk for each agenda item you wish to address so that you may be heard. You will be called by me when it is your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the agenda item you wish to speak about on the speaker request form. Speaker requests may be filled out using the speaker card kiosk located at the table or by texting commission to 555-888 or via the website empower.la/commission/policies-and-meetings. If you intend to speak on any item, you must submit your electronic speaker request prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your cell phone ringers to vibrate or silent. Thank you very much, and we will now call the meeting to order and have a roll call.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Lippman?
Here.
Commissioner Schaefer, absent. Commissioner Derekitos, absent. Commissioner Wiebe?
Here.
Commissioner Regalado?
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you very much. Okay, so first we're on item number three, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of October 2nd. 2018 Board of Neighborhood Commissioners regular meeting. Has everyone looked at the minutes? Any changes, any additions, any corrections to these minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes of the regular meeting of October 2nd, 2018. Yeah, Commissioner Lippman.
Second.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Commissioner Regalado to accept the minutes from October 2nd. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Unanimous. Okay. Item number four, just a question. Have there been any community impact statements that have been filed with regard to any of our agenda items or any neighborhood council resolutions that we should know about? Nothing? All right. Nothing has been submitted under item number four. So we will move to item number five, multiple agenda items. I read the instructions regarding multiple agenda items. Is there anyone here that would like to discuss several agenda items for a total of 5 minutes, or would you rather wait for your agenda item to come and you have 1 minute intervals? Okay. All right. Item number six. Any updates from the mayor, Los Angeles City Council, or other city representatives? Nope. We're moving right along. This is just really fabulous. Says verbal up. I'm sorry. item number seven is verbal updates from representatives of the Los Angeles Neighborhood Council Budget Advocates. Neighborhood Council Budget Advocates provide input to the city on the city budget. Is there anyone here from the Budget Advocates? Nope. Moving right along to item number eight, general public comments. Comments from the public on non-agenda items within the board's subject matter jurisdiction. This agenda item will last a total of 15 minutes, and no individual speaker will be allowed more than 3 minutes. Is there anyone that wanted to discuss anything that is not on this agenda? No? Okay. Item number nine. Update and discussion on the Neighborhood Council funding by the Office of the City Clerk. Great. Yay!
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Melvin Cañas, Neighborhood Council Funding Program Manager. I've been in this role since, I think, early September. So, been with the...
Oh, great. We can pick on you because you don't know anything, huh?
Right. I'll get back to you. All right, so thank you for having me here on the agenda. And so I just wanted to give a brief update status on where we are with in terms of Neighborhood Council funding program expenditures. And this information, it's pretty much available on our portal. I have a copy of a printout of the portal. The activity citywide. But just to give you some general numbers.
You have two phones. Personal county.
So going into the close to finishing the fifth month of this fiscal year, neighborhood councils have spent about 24%. Of their allocated funds, some 39% has gone into operations expenditures, office operations. Another third, about 37%, into outreach activities, and that encompasses, promotional item purchases or expenditures having to do with events. 20% of expenditures have gone into MPGs, neighborhood purpose grants, and about 1% each into community improvement projects and 1% election. Okay. So that's where we are at this point in terms of spent or committed. So meaning that the neighborhood council has committed some funds, but may have not yet actually spent the money, but the funds have been committed. In terms of check payment requests, so far in the first 5 months of the fiscal year, 1,121 check payment requests have come in through the online portal where treasurers submit their payment requests. The most busy areas have been the North Valley and South Valley with over 200 payment requests each. Of those, of the 1,121, about 76% have been approved that have come in through the portal. 19% have been denied.
Can you respond?
The remaining are basically left there uncommitted and have not yet been officially submitted for review. And our turnaround time to respond to the whether we deny or approve a request, we are at a 2.4 days, which where we ended the fiscal year, last fiscal year was about 1.9, just under 2 days. And right now we've been creeping up a little bit and we've been trying to bring it down. So we're working on basically making those approvals as quick as we can. With in terms of credit card transactions, the neighborhood council purchase cards, we've had 2,063 credit card transactions. Of those transactions, we have about 113 receipts that are pending submittal, meaning that the cardholder has yet to submit their credit card receipt to the portal to confirm the transaction. And the upload time, we give neighborhood councils cardholders up to 10 days to submit those receipts. Where we are right now on average is 7.5 days of submission when the treasurer cardholder gets submitted. We've been doing, we continue doing trainings. Our trainings have been basically twice a month. We schedule trainings for the funding program, for the program itself and for the system portal. Basically the in-person required training for financial officers. We do have one scheduled for next week on Tuesday, November 27th. In December, we will schedule one more, because we understand positions may change at any time in a board, so we're making ourselves available on December, Tuesday, December 11th, for new financial officers to attend a training. Those trainings are here at City Hall in the evening, and we provide a parking for anyone who comes. One new thing that we started, well, we've restarted it. We're doing it before, and we stopped for a while when we introduced the new portal, but we're starting to do again is roundtables, which is basically, it's not a formal training, if you will, like the one we require financial officers to attend. This is more of a come and ask your questions, and we'll answer them or discuss them. And we do focus the roundtable around one particular topic in the middle of it, which is this one we're doing around events. What our process on when we receive a event approval request from the neighborhood council, what happens when we get it on our end and how we review it, what criteria we go through. So we started doing those. We did have one, the first one last week on Wednesday evening. It was targeted for the South LA and Harbor area. Next week on Thursday, November 29th, we have another one scheduled for the Central LA area and the East area neighborhood councils. It's scheduled at the Hollywood City Hall, the Hollywood Constituent Center, where Council District 4, where Council District 4 has their office.
I'm sorry, what was that date again?
It's Thursday, November 29th, from 7 to, I'm sorry, no, sorry, from 6 to 8. 6 to 8. And for the Valley, we have scheduled it. Basically, we tried to schedule it for the first 2 weeks of December. We have scheduled it right now for Saturday, December 8th. And I believe we have secured, we're waiting for confirmation from Council District 3, their field office, to secure. We have been looking for some sites, but Saturdays there's programs at libraries or other locations have going on.
Just,
so that's on Saturday.
Just one question before you go further. When was the South LA Harbor area?
Last week on Wednesday, November 7th. November 7th?
November 7th? Okay.
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're going to, our aim is to do these roundtables on a periodic basis. Each time that we do the roundtables, we're going to target them into regions. We'll group two regions at a time. And with the West area, we'll be aiming to schedule the South LA and some of the Central area roundtables somewhere in between so that, we can convene in one location. And so the next one, we may be going back to MPGs. The last time we did roundtables, it was around MPGs, and they were well attended. But like I said, those are opportunities for anyone to come and ask questions in general about funding. Okay, so that's where we are with trainings. And in terms of issues that we're dealing with in the funding program, I think one of the things that we are trying to, that we deal with is around events, around community events, understanding, giving a better understanding to neighborhood councils, our review process. And then around MPGs, having to do a lot with the issues of potential conflict of interest and explaining that when we receive an application and how to address it before. So those are some of the two major issues that we're dealing with right now in general. So that's my report. I don't know if you have any questions.
I have a question. On when you do those trainings, I would appreciate it maybe if you could add the commissioner for that area onto the mailing list, because I would have liked to have known about the South LA, you know, obviously harbor, in the harbor area maybe, you know. So because sometimes either we might want to attend or we might want to add an extra reminder to our neighborhood councils, even though you mail to them, sometimes, you know, we'd like to do that too. So just add us, you know, figure out which commissioners with what and mail to us. And then I have another question, and I know I should know this answer, but I don't write stuff like some of the other commissioners do. What's money spent on community improvement as opposed to neighborhood purpose grants?
So community improvement projects have to do with more actual capital improvement projects. If a neighborhood council wants to erect a welcome to Arleta monument, for example, that, you know, entails having to go through permits through Public Works or any other city department. So those are more physical capital improvement projects. That's what it tends to relate to.
Okay. So, like, if they put on an event of their own, is that a community improvement?
No, an event is more of an outreach activity.
Outreach,
expenditure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think Eli had a question first, and then.
When you said that it takes on average 7.5 days to upload receipts, what happens if they don't within that 10-day period? What happens to the charge?
So after the first 10 days, the system automatically sends out reminders to the cardholder. If after those 10 days the receipt is still missing, then the funding program representative for that area initiates communication with the board, sending emails to the board that the receipt is missing. And basically we do that for the next, so after the first 10 days, for the next 20 days, we work with them so that to get it in. The issue is that depending on where it falls in the month, if that receipt is missing, the system will not generate the monthly expenditure.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's in the best interest of the NC to submit it as soon as
and
possible.
Is the site where they can, like, upload the receipt, is it mobile-friendly? Like, could they potentially just snap a picture on their phone?
And it is. And that's part of the training that we do, the in-person required training. We show it how you can log in through the phone. It's not an app, but it is mobile-friendly.
Okay.
You can take a picture of
cool.
the receipt and upload it through the mobile phone.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks.
Commissioner Wiebe?
Hi, Commissioner Debbie Wiebe. Thank you. This is, coming from a background as a former president of neighborhood council and a treasurer, this report makes so much sense to me, and it is so clear, and I'm very, very happy that you're implementing the round tables, because from the central area, I have heard questions often about about events and about MPGs and certainly about conflict of interest, and I am very happy that those things are being addressed. Thank you so much. My question specifically is about those things that are being denied, just as because those questions, I know that we can refer them to you, but sometimes they do come to us as commissioners, just for the general, not that I would answer it, but I just want that general information. What sorts of things do get denied? What do you tend to find coming to you? I mean, if there is some generality that you can share.
So it varies. And when we do have to deny a request, we we definitely put a clarification, a description as to why it is denied, and we make reference to the policies and the policy section as to where it is, but they can range from something where signatures are missing from the board authorization form, the BAC. That document is a required document, is not signed. The invoice is not descriptive enough. You know, it only has the payment amount, but it doesn't say.
Okay.
What, so it really varies, MPGs, you know, as well. It could be, again, because that can be more involved, definitely, because maybe the reason why the funds have been requested, the event.
Oh, no, I appreciate that, and I understand you can't be specific about it, but I simply heard a number of 19%. Now I understand that it's a matter of procedure, and that when you send something back or you deny it, then you specify what the procedure is and clarify what needs to be done. Okay, that just helps me in understanding what the process is and just how my mind works. Thank you so much. And I appreciate the visual, being one that is a visual learner. This makes it a lot easier for me.
Any other questions? No? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in a month.
I have a question, Lillian. You know, I'm technology challenged. So, everything is fine over here.
No.
But
I'm with you sometimes.
We have a comment that was submitted by Glenn Bailey, but he's not here. Was it online or something? Or are we supposed to call him up, or he's going to we're going to answer him later, or how does that work?
He texted it in.
Yeah. So we do have speaker cards online, but if they're not here, then obviously they can't give speaker. I mean, they can't speak. So
Did he write in what he wanted to say?
No, I think it's just what agenda item, and also,
I can't hear you.
So it's just the agenda item, right?
Okay, so.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Glenn Bailey, we got your text message.
Yeah.
But you got to be here to talk, so. Sorry, man. But the text works, so.
Yeah. If you do it online, they can send it in online. And
yes.
Then if it's online, then you read it to us or something? Or do we get it? Or
no, so. The text message, I mean, not the text, but basically they could say they're against or for an item.
Oh, right.
But yeah, so that has that information, but if they actually want to speak, they have to be present to speak.
Oh, okay.
But they could say that they're
just
against or for they're for that item.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was helpful.
Okay, number 10 is the general manager's report.
Good afternoon. Gracie Liu, General Manager for the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. Just a few updates. Happy to share that our Ignite LA program, at your last commission meeting, I was not able to attend in the field because we had a graduation ceremony for 65 girls and young women who completed the program and to learn how to become civically engaged and to run for office. And really want to appreciate Jasmine L. Barbary and Sammy Park and all of our staff actually for helping to conduct the sessions, and for those of our staff who covered our session leaders, neighbor council meetings. So we're excited. So far we've graduated. We've had two Ignite LA sessions, and we have graduated 115 girls and young women from there. And now we're looking at doing a 2.0 version to actually take these graduates, as well as any women who are interested in running for neighbor councils, and taking them through the candidates filing and outreach process for the upcoming neighbor council elections. So we'll continue to do this type of programming to encourage youth and also women to participate in the neighbor council system. Speaking of youth, we happily launched our Agents of Discovery mission last last week. Yay! We are part of the SoCal Explorer 2.0 version of this, which it is a gaming app that allows kids to engage in learning through virtual reality, and you just do it on a cell phone. And the City of LA, actually, Rec and Parks has launched programs, as well as El Pueblo. We have 10 partners. There's 28 missions. And as kids finish the missions at each of the locations, you can see this map that I handed out for folks who are listening. You can see the different avatars, and we are actually the Civic Engagement Cougar. So if I know we saw the City Hall Civic Engagement Cougar. So if you finish, you will get a badge with a very cool cougar on it. That's modeled by after P22. Yeah, you can actually go downstairs and do the program, do the mission. It's on the third floor of City Hall, and you can go around all throughout Southern California and do these missions. Yeah, it is fun. So we're very excited to be part of the program. Council member Bob Blumenfeld was there to help us launch, and really want to thank our staffers, Gibson Nyambura and Sevak Paramagian, for working really hard getting the City Hall mission completed. And we'll continue, as technology improves, to add changes to our City Hall one. But, you know, we actually had a group of kids come and do the mission, and we asked them, you know, what did you learn? And they learned things about not only how many council members there are, but, you know, why is this the flag, California this way, the gifts from the different countries that are downstairs on the third floor. So it's really engaging them in a way that I think they find to be fun. And you know, they learn what is the Board of Public Works, you know, what services are covered under there. So we want to continue to expand on the mission in City Hall. And of course, you know, we gave a shout out to neighbor councils. So very happy to be part of that. I think Mike is going to tell you about some other cool things that are coming up. Oh, yeah, sure.
I just want to say that after reading this on the newsletter that you send out on a regular basis and being an educator, I was so excited to see this. I was researching, trying to find out more information about it, and I'm thrilled. This is something that I'm going to bring to our own school, and I'm to know that our city and this commission and Department of Neighborhood Empowerment is involved in getting kids using technology, but out in our city and interacting in our parks and moving.
Yes.
Is so exciting. So I commend you on everything that you have done here. This is a phenomenal merging of technology and getting our kids out and moving and learning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, it's, you know, we're always looking for innovative ways to engage folks. And, you know, I really think we are underutilizing the gaming aspect of the applications that are available for civic engagement. So we're excited with this partnership, and we anticipate to continue to grow. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Mike, Mike Fong, so he can tell you about some of the other cool things that we're doing coming up.
Thank you so much, Gracie. Mike Fong, Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Good afternoon, commissioners and members of the public. Just a couple quick updates. The department is working on a collaboration with the Department of Aging to host a purposeful aging town hall for neighborhood councils. That's going to occur on Thursday, November 29th. At 6:30 p.m. It's a partnership to really enhance our region's age friendliness in areas such as transportation, housing, emergency preparedness, and outdoor space. The Department of Aging will be making a presentation and would like to hear from our neighbor councils on their efforts, current efforts on aging issues and potential opportunities for collaboration in terms of how we can make our city more age-friendly. So that's going to be on Thursday, November 29th at 6:30 p.m. at the D10 Auditorium across from City Hall. Secondly, the department's also working on a homelessness resource fair that will be held on Saturday, February 23rd. It will either be at City Hall East or it'll be at Grand Park. We're finalizing the location. I want to thank Mario and Julian for really taking initiative on this effort to really partner with our homelessness liaisons, the United Way, the LA Homeless Services Authorities, and many other partners to really address the homelessness crisis and working with our neighbor council homelessness liaisons. So that's on Saturday, February 23rd, and that'll be an opportunity for neighbor councils to engage on the homelessness issue. As we get further information on this in the flyer, I'll make sure the commission is apprised of it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. We actually have Christopher Garcia, who heads up the Neighbor Council Election Division here. So I'm just going to ask if Chris could give us a little update on Neighbor Council elections.
Thank you, Gracie. Good afternoon. We are still in our preparatory phase for the 2019 Neighbor Council elections. We recently completed a draft of a 2019 election handbook, which we asked Gracie and the department to issue to all board members on our behalf for their review. So far we've received a good amount of feedback. We're going to be cataloging that feedback to see if there's any changes we need to make to the handbook so that we can incorporate NC input into this this document. Just to provide a brief overview, this document is going to be kind of like the overall rule book for elections citywide as far as just the citywide rules, and this will complement both this will complement each neighbor council's specific rules as far as candidate eligibility, stakeholder eligibility for the elections. There are a number of attachments that are still in development, namely like poll worker handbook, guidelines for online voting, and documents regarding how do people qualify as a stakeholder, what documents can they provide. So I know that the discussion on community interest stakeholder will definitely inform that document as well. So we're looking forward to that. Once we're done through, when we're completing this preparation phase, we're going to be starting our first candidate filing period in December 16th for the Hollywood area neighborhood councils. And then thereafter, within a week and about every other week, candidate filing periods will be opening up for all the neighborhood council regions. We are still in contact with the online election vendor for the pilot online elections. The vendor is currently assessing whether or not they can still develop a system, namely a voter registration system, if they can customize it to neighborhood council needs, because neighborhood council elections are so unique. They were recently merged with a newer company, another election technology company called Votum. So they're trying to see if those two systems can work and just fit our needs. So we're awaiting their feedback so we can kind of move on to the next phase of that project. So that's currently where we're at right now.
Great. We need questions for Chris.
Any questions on election procedures?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I know, yeah.
I know it.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much.
just to update the commissioners, the 245 on the Historic Cultural North Neighborhood Council that went to City Council last week, we were able to, at the table, answer Councilmember Cedillo's questions about the commission's actions, and he was satisfied with that, and no further action will be taken on that. And then lastly, the department submitted our budget request for next fiscal year, and we'll be emailing all the neighbor councils and the commission The PDF or the online version of this. But for next fiscal year, we are looking at focusing on three things. The first building, the first phase of an Office of Civic Engagement. A second is expanding our administrative support for neighbor councils and the department to handle our increased and varied workload. And the third is to increase the influence of underrepresented populations in the neighbor council system. So in our ask, you know, obviously this is a dream ask. If we were to have everything that we wanted, we requested 28 positions with a full budget of $4,841,000, which is a 68% increase from last year. For us, I think we've been working, and I know if I've given you updates here and there about Office of Engagement. This office is something that came out several years ago out of a Google Innovation Lab, which would focus actually on streamlining and standardizing civic engagement efforts on the city side. Because the department is tasked with increasing civic engagement in the city. We work with neighbor councils to do that, but we also, part of our other job is to teach and educate city departments on how to work with neighbor councils. And when we were trying to do that, we realized that just a general civic engagement, that concepts of civic engagement with, you know, all the new technologies and innovations that there have been in gathering public feedback are not necessarily used in the city. And so we got a Fuse Fellow last year to look at this, and we really wanted to consolidate all the efforts, because what we also found is that a lot of times city departments are doing notifications or newsletters and considering that to be outreach. Or if they do go out and talk with the public, sometimes they're doing it on the same nights as other city departments. There's no centralized database of who's doing what or who departments are even talking to, like what zip codes, just like a basic demographic breakdown. Like for all we know, we could probably talk to the same 1,000 people throughout the city of Los Angeles, to ask different questions. So this is really about trying to standardize some of those efforts and centralize it, and then have a website portal not only for city departments to have access to resources, either whether they be templates for flyers or education on how to do great town halls or any other types of education we want to provide around civic engagement. The public side would actually show, like someone would go to that, would show all of the opportunities for civic engagement, whether it's walking, volunteering to walk dogs at animal services, to going to a town hall for GOT, or talk about Vision Zero issues, or go to a homeless resource fair. Like all of those opportunities would be in one location, so you wouldn't have to know like how many different city departments there are to figure out who's doing what. And so part of this this ask to build the first phase is to build out that website portal around emergency preparedness, actually to work with EMD and ITA in the mayor's office to make sure that we can start with this project and then expand to other departments. And so that's part of our request. And also to consolidate our efforts for Civic University under the Office of Civic Engagement as well. So that's kind of like the big, the next phase of it. And the administrative support in terms of building out our structure, such as asking for like a principal project coordinator to work on field issues. Instead of an AGM, we asked for a chief management analyst, and then office workers to help do some of the administrative work that a lot of our field staff end up doing, so we can become more efficient and do these great projects like Ignite and these homeless resource fairs and all that good stuff without straining our support for neighbor council meeting operations. And then obviously our big thing is increasing underrepresented populations. So last fiscal year, we did have some funds to start election outreach and early, and so we're requesting the same thing to happen for next fiscal year so we can get a jump start on the 2021 elections in 2020, which I think is really important. And we've been able to cultivate a lot of new relationships this year because we started early last fiscal year. So that's kind of the general overview. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions about any updates.
Commissioner Regalado.
Gracie, I really appreciate especially the civic engagement efforts that are going on. I'd like to see if perhaps maybe there's a certain amount of consideration that might be focused in and around the area of homelessness. I mean, it seems like every community is dealing with some sort of engagement situation, if you will. I'm trying to be very kind. You know, when it comes to the population of homelessness in our neighborhood councils, one of the things that I try to highlight every time we talk about homelessness is in our neighborhood councils, the fact that, you know, whether some people recognize it or not, there's a homeless population within our neighborhood councils that we are responsible to represent. They're part of our community. So I think it's a real important aspect of community. But it just seems that there is sometimes this real heavy effort by those people who will constantly say they're not against the homeless population, I just don't want them in my neighborhood, or something like that. You know, we have some really good work that's being conducted by the mayor's office and our city council people with safe parking initiatives and a bridge home initiatives. Unfortunately, as much as we would like to see, perhaps maybe there could be some more focused engagement by those elected offices that might help neighborhood councils who are very much trying to do something with the homeless populations, that we might be able to, you know, engage and work with. I know we have liaisons. I know down in the harbor area we have a CD15 working group of people who are actually looking for opportunities to engage. But it seems like the mountain gets steeper as we venture deeper into that mountain.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Commissioner. And I think not only LA is struggling with this, but all cities nationwide who have homeless issues are struggling with this, and we're trying to learn from one another. We are trying to assist neighborhood councils, and I'm actually going to let Mike talk a little bit more about this since he heads up the homelessness efforts for the department.
Thank you, Gracie. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Thank you, Commissioner Regalado, for that question. In terms of the Bridge Home Program, Bridge Housing Program, we actually had Angie Aramayo from the mayor's office is taking the lead on that. She actually is making the rounds of some of the various alliances, and somebody on her team, actually Joanna Rodriguez, last Friday asked us for contact info for the HANC, so I believe they're going to be hopefully presenting a HANC very soon. I was at the RAC meeting last Wednesday, and Angie from the mayor's office on A Bridge Home made a presentation there, and you hit it on the dot. There's widespread sentiment to work on the homelessness crisis, but a lot of times it's not in my backyard. So how do we overcome that? How do we build more empathy on this issue, and how do we provide more support when people talk about being all in on this issue? So this is something that our department is working very closely with the neighborhood councils on, and maybe we can invite Angie to come to a future Board of Neighborhood Commissions meeting. She can give a presentation as to what they're doing and their work as well. But this is something that as a department and as a community that we're very keenly focused on. And with the homelessness resource around the 23rd and other things that we're working on, that's something that we take your comments very much wholeheartedly, and we need to do more on this issue. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yes, and actually at the last homelessness liaison meeting, there was someone using technology to increase empathy with virtual reality, where you would, put on the virtual reality goggles, and then it takes you through the life of a homeless person, and just so that you could try to understand that point of view and not, you know, demonize them or make them the other, or, you know, all those stereotypes that we've put. That have been put on homeless. So there are ways that we are testing, and we're trying to see how we can work with the communities. But we welcome any suggestions that you may have, or any specific requests. If you're trying to address a certain type of issue, then we're happy to have that conversation.
All right, great, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have a question regarding that. So there's a lot of things going on. I mean, and some neighborhood councils actually have their homeless committees. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. And I know that it must have happened. Did some kind of general communication go out to neighborhood councils about everything that was happening? Who's in charge of homelessness at the city, in the mayor's office, or what's going on in different areas that maybe can be shared with everybody to kind of make it more of a big deal, bigger deal than it is. I mean, I don't know if you did a general mailing to neighborhood councils or not, and if it's something that could be done.
Yeah, we do. We do, tell folks about everything that's going on with, like, all different types of subjects, but also with the homelessness. In the neighborhood council profiles, we try to put that specifically the month before, and then we work with the homelessness liaisons, like, with direct emails. Mm-hmm. Did you want to add anything, Mike?
Anything that you do send out, again, just like I asked the city clerk, like, I need more emails, but it would be great if anything you do email out, if maybe you could send it to the commission, because if I know what you're doing, you know, there might be certain people that I can, you know, in the neighborhood councils that I might be close to that I can say, look, take this seriously. This is what's going on. And so if you could kind of like add me to the list or something, or add any of the commissioners to the list, because it's just a matter of emailing out. And I would appreciate that, because then I can keep up with what's going on.
Absolutely. Point well taken. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. In addition, as to Gracie, what Gracie said, the monthly profiles, we put that in there. We try to highlight it in our policy section as well on the citywide campaign. So definitely we want to make sure the word is out. Everyone's always invited to any neighborhood council homelessness liaison meeting. We routinely have anywhere from 40 to 60 people attend every 2 to 3 months when these meetings are hosted. And really appreciate John Darnell, who's really done a lot of work on this issue, and Moira Hernandez and Julian. But in terms of everything going forward as well, we'll definitely make sure that we'll send direct emails to the commission and to really make sure that we get the word out even more.
Anything else on that? Any other questions to the general manager? Commissioner Wiebe?
Well, I'd just like to add that along with what the department is doing and within the Central Hollywood Neighborhood Council, that particular area with bridge housing going in construction there, you know, that the council member O'Farrell has been very active in bringing the community in for coffees. And I'm just giving this as an example as how the city has been working together in building the goodwill of the community and in having numerous meetings and getting information from the community on how they felt initially about the bridge housing and the location, and continuing, even though the community has supported and the construction is going forward, continuing with coffees and allowing for questions. And so I also have an area that has not been as welcoming to bridge housing, and know that, you know, it takes a lot of hands-on and constant communication in the community and education, and it's multiple entities and networking, and so I'm always encouraged with every group, whether it's, you know, the department or neighborhood councils or our council members all working together. I understand the need for everyone to communicate, but it is complex, and I see that, you know, with everyone continuing to work together, we are making little strides that hopefully will add up to something larger as we go forward. That's all.
Thank you.
That's all.
Any other comments?
Keep going.
Yeah, Commissioner Levin, as you're reviewing, as the department's reviewing bylaws throughout the system, is there, do we need to sort of understand or figure out a process by which to address sort of discrepancies between what some neighborhood councils are operating under in terms of what their what they consider their bylaws or the maps boundaries for the election, and what the reality of sort of was approved was?
Sure. So, as you know, this year city clerk has taken over the creation of the maps from Bureau of Engineering, and in doing their the elections, we got into the nitty-gritty in regards to like parcels and which parcels is here, because we found that, you know, some of the boundaries were literally going down where like the middle of a house, where the front part was part of one neighbor council and the backyard was another neighbor council. So in order to fix those, we've been getting really detailed, and when we found that there was a difference between what was written in the bylaws and what the map was saying, we went back to the neighbor council and said, hey, by the way, did you notice that this was different? And if you know, we asked them, you know, can you provide us information as to why this might be different? Some didn't realize, some were able to provide us information. And then others, you know, they didn't have anything. They just said it's been like this. And so we then go back and we look at old commission documents, certification documents, in order to figure out where the map is. And for some neighbor councils, that has helped solve a few problems, and others, it created more issues. So we are trying to work with neighbor councils to at least get the maps to where they think they should be, and that might require us coming to the commission, even though we're on a moratorium, but coming to the mission and commission and clearing it up, even though it may not make it in time for the elections because they have to lock the maps once candidate filing starts. So unfortunately, what has happened is that because our server crashed like 4 years ago, we lost a lot of information in terms of historical data, commission actions, even the certification documents for every neighborhood council that had been digitized were gone. So we still have hard copies of certification docs, but some of them are missing, like the commission report or the commission action. So we are trying to figure out how to get that information back, and then to get the paper copies digitized and placed onto the website. There was certain situations with Commissioner Lippman had an email that he happened to find, and then because he knew that email existed, then I had to go look in my emails. I'm like, oh, well, there was a whole chain of things, and that helped actually solve one issue with Palms Neighborhood Council boundaries, where the commission did take certain action, and it wasn't anywhere except in a series of emails from like 4 years ago. So we do need to see how we can recreate that. And that goes again to like the administrative support that the department needs to do this type of work. Because it's literally like doing, just like searching for all the documents and then digitizing them, which will take a long time.
Do we need to have like sort of a streamlined process for us as the commission and neighbor councils to clean any of this stuff up, or?
For my understanding, there's only one pending one. I think we've we only have one. And we are going to try to bring something to the commission in January to just align the documents so that they all make sense with what the neighbor council is saying that it should be.
Commissioner Wiebe?
Just a question about information is just new to me about the unfortunate crash of the server. I'm just wondering if at this point, if the department is fortunate enough to have backups of their servers?
Everything's on the cloud now. We don't have physical servers. That's after learning from what happened there. Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, so it's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So then, well, back then they didn't really have the cloud server, the availability of it the way that they do now. Yeah. The technology was different. I also want to point out too that some of the discrepancies in bylaws, what we found was in the past, prior to the current way that we do the bylaw approvals, is that sometimes, you know, neighbor council give us a whole set of bylaws. They told us this is what we changed, and then maybe they changed some other parts of the bylaws that they didn't tell us were changed. And since we don't do a word-to-word comparison, some things got in. So that's why about 5 years ago, well, actually longer, like 6 years ago, we changed that process so that we don't accept full bylaw like Word documents from the neighbor council. We just say, show us what you're changing, and then we have our own Word doc that is locked in our department, and we only make the changes to what they've told us. So so that we don't get random things like floating quorums and all that that were changed by, you know, certain board members that weren't officially approved by the department. And that sometimes maybe have happened with the maps too.
Anything else?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, we're on to item number 11. We have a speaker for item number 11, but this is a discussion and possible action to approve the final letters regarding the recommendations for Council File 18-0467. At our last meeting, we agreed upon the conditions, what we were going to send Councilman Rue's committee, and this was just a matter of formalizing it by composing the letter and getting it on letterhead. And so today we are just really approving the letter, and I didn't see any changes that needed to be made. I didn't know if anybody wanted to comment. We actually have two letters. One, do we take them all at the same time? Are they on the same agenda item? Yeah, they're the same agenda item, because one has to do with the neighborhood council reforms, and the other has to do with the interpretation or definition the definition of ongoing and significant participation in neighborhood council. So we actually have two letters, leaving it up to the city council to decide. Does anybody have, before I ask for a public comment, does anyone have any comment on the letters that we have that we have drafted? And thank you to Commissioner Lippman and Commissioner Schaefer for working on the letters. The first one has to do with the reforms, and the second letter in your packet does have to do with the definition of ongoing and significant participation.
Just a point of clarification, Alicia, City Attorney. It's just ongoing and substantial, I believe.
I'm sorry, what?
I believe it's ongoing
ongoing and
substantial.
Oh, I said significant,
it's just
didn't
the wording
I? Sorry,
that's
right.
In the
substantial. I knew it started with the S.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that. So does anybody have any comments about the letters? You see any
I'm sorry, I
errored, or I don't. I looked. They seemed okay to me, and
they're just packaged in the opposite order. So I thought we were going. My misunderstanding. I thought we were taking the other first.
The first one is the reforms, and the second one is
So which letter are we looking at first?
The first one is the general comments that we're sending to Councilman Rue regarding the neighborhood council reform.
Oh, reforms, okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's the first letter in your packet.
I'm fine with that.
Do you want to take public comment?
Well, I wanted to be sure that you guys didn't have any questions first.
No question.
That's all. I was just making sure. And Commissioner Wiebe was just looking it over, but I'll get ready to take public comment in a second.
I was just confused about which one we were taking.
Oh, right.
That's all.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Mr. Bay, you wanted to come and make a comment on item number 11.
Steve Bay. Public comment is just very general, and it's just more of one of gratitude, saying thank you for one, putting up with us for all these meetings that we've attended with you guys. I wasn't able to attend the last one. I heard there was a little passionate discussion, let's just say, that happened. But Commissioner Littman and Commissioner Schaefer, who is unfortunately not here, I just want to thank both of you guys for, I know you guys put in, I think, majority of the work on this. And I just wanted to come today and just say thank you to you guys for listening to all of us and putting in all the hard work and dedication for putting this together.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Bay. Okay. Let me get back to it.
I would just,
just a general comment. I think we really spent a lot of time in all of the public hearings that we had and in the rewriting of the letter. I think we took as much into consideration from everybody that ever testified in the last few months, and I think we did, personally, I think we did the best we could, and we gave the most that we could give as far as accommodating neighborhood councils, and everybody will not agree, but the art of making a decision is to compromise and to do the best you can do. So I think we did, but that's just my public comment that I thought should go on the record. And again, a thank you to Commissioner Littman and Commissioner Schaefer for putting a lot of the written wording and work together. And
thank you.
Yeah.
I would just add that this isn't the final stop. That this still has to. I mean, we're sending this letter to Councilman Rue and to the committee, and then they'll have to consider something themselves, and then the city council would consider something. So.
Yeah, I think we did a great job of putting it off on the city council.
Right. Well, they wanted control of it anyways. But I would say that, you know, if we do approve this letter, that I think we should, since it's an official position of the commission, that we may want to sit down and have a meeting, at least you and I, Joy, with Councilman Rue to kind of see if he has any questions in reviewing the letter, just as kind of a follow-up on behalf of the commission. So.
Okay. All right. So anything else? Mr. Rigolato, do you have anything to say? Or Commissioner Wiebe?
I just want to second what's already been said, because I always appreciate what our Commissioner Littman has to offer, because he is always very fair and logical in his presentations, and if I could wordsmith the way you do, I would be a very happy camper, I would say. And Commissioner Schaefer gives us great perspective with his legal background and his years on this commission, and it's a real gift for us as commissioners to have these two very dedicated human beings here who are putting in numerous hours and giving their valuable time to us.
I told someone today that there's a good balance on this commission, and I appreciate, as chair of the commission, that I have Mr. Schaefer on one side, who's an attorney and very techie and very explicit on the law. So it's like having three attorneys, two attorneys. And then I have on this side Mr. Commissioner Lippman, who's not quite as legal, but he's very thorough in reading everything and in coming up with an easy solution.
But not illegal, just quite
illegal. Coming up with a compromise and working through the issue. So, you know, techie over here, you know, reasonable over here, and then I don't have to take any notes. And I figure a leader says, you know, the best people on the commission should do the work. And so I read everything, and then I work from legal, thorough, I work from the gut, what I feel. Does it sound right? It makes sense. That's the way it's going to be. And I just had that. It may be a fault, but it also could be a virtue.
It's beautiful.
So I just wanted to say that because I appreciate every. And then, of course, Mr. Regalado, you know, who's a, you know, with the human relations and is kind of a touchy-feely kind of person. And Ms. I have assessed everybody. And Ms. Wiebe loves children, so she's into the education and all of that. And takes a lot of notes, too. But, you know, they're kind of general. So I just want you to know that I recognize your talents, and I appreciate all your talents. And you can laugh if you like. But, hey, it works. It really works. So I just wanted to make that public, that I understand my faults, but I also understand my virtues and everybody else's virtues and everybody else's faults. So I just wanted to say that. Now, I will accept a motion to accept these letters so that we can send them off to the...
together or separately?
I think we can do them together.
Well, I move...
Together, at least?
Well, it might be... Yes, you can do them together, but in the discussion, is there going to be any... You're just going
to
okay,
say... Okay, so in other words, I will accept a motion to accept the letter... addressed to Commissioner Rue regarding the neighborhood council system reform and addressing the letter to the commission recommendation to the council file regarding substantial and ongoing participation by community interest stakeholders.
I move that we accept both letters.
Is there a second?
I'll second. I would just add to the motion that we allow the department to make any minor or non-substantive spelling and grammatical changes if so needed after review.
You accept that amendment?
You mean I should have gone over it with my English? No,
what I'm suggesting is that we're designating the department, if they
just
do see any spelling or grammatical errors, just in case, that they have authority to make any.
I accept your amendment, author. Yes.
Okay. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Hold on. Discussion.
Hold up.
I would just say that there are three things that I saw right now, but I guess we can leave that now that we've added that.
As amended. I mean, move the acceptance of the letters as amended.
Just at least for the city attorney. My only concern, the spelling errors, I have no issue. Just sometimes in a grammatical change, I just want to make sure it doesn't change anything that might be substantive by, I mean, a comma. Can change differently. So I just want to
right.
make sure.
I mean, the only things that I noticed are on the first letter on neighborhood council system reforms. Second paragraph, it says on November 5th.
Which paragraph?
2018. The second paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
In background?
Page?
Yeah, on November 5th, 2018, the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners authorized instead of authorizes. So making that...
that's a grammar thing.
Making that, yeah. And then the other thing that doesn't totally make sense is in the third paragraph. It says, the commission agrees that Dunn, Bonk, and Empower Lay are confusing to the public and even to neighborhood council leadership. Oh. The commission recognizes that EmpowerLay was created as a brand for the NC system without the need to amend the charter or administrative code. And then the however is third paragraph?
On the first letter?
Yeah. The however is unnecessary. It should just say the commission does not support a charter change, but would support efforts to make branding changes such as the logo, social media accounts, website, or other marketing collateral.
I'm sorry, I've lost you. Okay. I understand where you're going with that. It's verbally, but on the page.
Right. We're on page one under Reform A, rebranding the department.
Rebranding the department. From where? From which? The commission agrees that.
I understand the first change is at the second sentence, the end of the second sentence. Is that correct?
Yeah, just striking how. Yeah.
Okay, and the second change is still within the third paragraph?
Yes, striking however.
And striking however in the.
Right.
The third sentence?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. And just starting with the.
The commission does not support.
Yeah. You know, this was your letter, right?
I know, but.
I got all upset about it. I had to change the letter.
If okay. I could make That's just fine. One recommendation for that I see here, just in terms of a legal or a procedural aspect. Commissioner Lippman on page one, paragraph two, talked about authorizes the department or authorized. If it might technically be more correct to say requested.
Okay.
Just in terms of the setup of the commission versus the department.
Makes sense to me.
Okay. So back to the third paragraph. We need to strike however is what you're saying?
Correct.
The commission, and just say, do we say the commission does not support the charter change, or do we say the
right.
commission would support efforts to make branding changes, such as logo, social media accounts, website?
Right. We don't need, however, it doesn't make sense in the context, actually. So it should just say the commission does not support charter change, but would support efforts to make branding changes such as the logo, social media accounts, website, okay. and other marketing collateral.
Okay, and
that's a grammar thing, too, really.
The change, I'm sorry.
Semantics.
And where is the other change that's being recommended?
In the second paragraph, the same letter.
Second paragraph.
Saying on November 5th, 2018, the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners.
Oh, instead of authorized.
Say requested.
Requested?
Requested in the past because it was, we.
I see.
Yeah. We asked them on November 5th to draft the letter.
Requested the department, yes, okay, to draft, yes.
The only other thing that I saw, and you know I've read these a lot of times, so sometimes you get blurry eyed, but that's why I was hoping others would take a look. But on the second letter regarding substantial and ongoing, on the second page, it says this definition clarifies the definition by. Probably should just say. This clarifies the definition by, right at the bottom, right where the list is, right before
okay.
the list.
This
so I'm recommending we just strike that first definition.
Oh, okay.
This clarifies
just too
the
many
definition
words.
By.
Yes.
Yeah, just too many words. Okay. All right. Did you get those? Okay. Any other grammar?
That's all I found, but, you know, I mean, if we pass this motion and Lillian in her...
So we didn't actually change anything substantive. It was just fixing it grammatically. All right, so the motion stands as amended to do... the motion to pass the letters...
And then...
That's just on page one.
The motion is to pass the letters as amended. Okay. Are we all ready to vote?
And then, sorry, one more thing. Elise pointed out just a technicality on that same letter.
Second letter?
Second letter, third paragraph. We should say on November 19th, the commission requested.
Which page?
First page. The second letter.
The second letter.
Third paragraph.
Second paragraph on November 15th.
Third paragraph.
Third paragraph.
Third paragraph.
Third paragraph on November 19th.
Yeah.
The commission requested.
Oh, okay.
That's today, so we're doing that right now. We're making that request.
Requests.
Requests or requested?
Requested, because this letter will go out as if
okay.
The decision. Wow. This is confusing. We've yet to make the decision, but when the letter goes out, the decision will have hopefully
okay.
been made.
So we're in ED.
What's your recommendation?
Got it.
Any other changes?
Yes. Yeah, so those were the recommended changes.
Any others?
Any opposition to that? Those changes?
The question is, do you have any more?
No, I don't have any more. Okay.
All right. Okay, so the motion is to accept the two letters as amended. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All right, the ayes have it. These letters are accepted as amended. Do I have to sign them again then, don't I? Okay.
Did you submit a card? Oh, I'm sorry. We got a card submitted.
For number 11? No, Stephen already spoke. Is it another one for number 11? Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Our machine.
I screwed up. I messed up the. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Just put it at that.
Oh.
And then put 1111.
Do you want to come up?
Yeah. And then go, okay. Then where is it? I did 111. Okay, where is it?
So my understanding is the in the recommendation membership.
Hold on a sec.
Oh, yeah.
Did I erase them? Okay.
There she is. Okay.
Okay, so this is Patricia.
I understand you've made your decision, but if it means anything at all for me to just mention, it just seems a little bit contradictory that the first part says that it could be amended, the definition of a stakeholder, but in the second part it says that the membership is not limited to those that deals with sales. So it can include sales. Okay. So, which includes medical services and legal services and such, possibly.
Where are you reading?
The very last paragraph of the recommendation for community interest stakeholder, substantial and ongoing.
The definition of ongoing, substantial, or on.
Correct. Yes. The very last paragraph. So it could include.
I would, Lisa and City Attorney, I don't know at this point if the commission would want to weigh in on anything in particular.
Can you clarify?
Well,
I mean, I think it's something that'll be interpreted or identified by the department. Yeah, so.
Okay.
It would be, I would imagine, in terms of the definition itself, what is going to fall into it and what is not is going to be determined on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
According to the definition.
All right. Okay.
Instead of getting to a legal conclusion by the, mm-hmm. by the commission.
Okay, okay. Good enough.
Membership in associated participation in or patronizing a movement such as but not limited to those that deal with sales of the public personal service.
I think what we tried to do just for those who are listening and who are interested is kind of create two sort of guardrails of like this is a more restrictive definition that's focused mostly on clarifying substantial and ongoing. And the other one is sort of a redefinition of what a community interest stakeholder is to allow the city council to look at them and say, you know, we like this recommendation versus this, or we want to meld them, or we want to do something completely different. But at least it provides them with some sort of guardrails by which they can kind of think about it within. And so that was the kind of idea behind these recommendations. So, yep.
Just for point of information, did you all send a recommendation to Councilman Rule about what you felt should be in the reforms?
We did not send it direct.
To Councilman Rule?
We wrote a CIS.
A CIS.
Okay.
Or not me, but.
All right. Okay. Of course, we already took the motion. It already passed to accept the letters as to accept the letters as amended. Okay. Item number 12 is
Commissioner.
Business. Oh, I have a question.
Commissioner,
I'm sorry, Lillian.
There was a motion passed, but it wasn't voted.
Huh?
Yeah,
we said I asked for aye, and they all.
We can vote again, just for the record.
Okay, yes. We can do it again. Okay, all in favor of the motion as amended to accept the letters to Councilman Rue regarding reforms and regarding substantial and ongoing definition. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. It's unanimous. All right. Number 12 is commission business. Any comments from commissioners on subject matters within the board's jurisdiction? I have a question. And I don't know if I need an opinion or not. You know, I'm always on the issue of leadership development, and the department and the city attorney's office is doing a lot of training on, you know, what should be, you know, on ethics and on financial, you know, instructions, and a couple of other things that the city attorney is doing. But always the problem I see is these grievances that people have. I don't mean the grievance procedure, but I mean the grievances that people have against each other and these neighborhood councils not getting along with each other and complaining about each other. And there were a couple of things that I was wondering if someone could do for me, because I'm still not quite sure on what, under the grievance procedure, I'm not sure on what the parameters are for bringing a grievance, because so many times grievances come, but they're not upheld, because they might be submitted in not in a right manner. But I would like to know what the only thing I learned from the grievance procedure, that if there's anything that has to do with the protected class, that goes to the Department of Personnel if a problem arises. But otherwise, what other kind of grievances does the grievance committee look at? I wanted to know that. That's number one. Number two, and I figured that was an easy enough thing to write up and give to us and let us know what that's all about. Number two is, I'm always interested in leadership development, but we don't ever want to interfere too much with neighborhood councils and how they run their neighborhood councils. But I've always been concerned, is it allowable and I guess the city attorney has to tell me this. Can we, as a policy, say to a neighborhood council, they really need to have a retreat every year. They really need to have a retreat to come together to agree on what their program for the year is. That's number one. Can we do a policy that says there must be a retreat every year? Number two, is there some way, there are, and only the one person that comes to mind, but several other friends of mine, is Avis Ridley Thomason. She did the these dialogues to for people to how to solve some of the grievances that they have with each other, and she has had a really good program. But there are other people that professionally do it too. And is there some way to do a leadership training that actually talks about leadership and not the technicalities, but how to be a leader, and to do some sort of like what we did at our retreat when we had our retreat, and we were kind of learning about each other and what leadership development was. Is that left up to the neighborhood councils, or is that a policy that we could say, look, they need, you know, everybody needs leadership training. They have the ethics training, they have the financial training, can they have leadership training? And that, my question is, can that be done?
Lisa and City Attorney. Commissioner, in terms of asking what are in the parameters of can the commission do a policy, that's something that we can discuss offline, because it does come into the realm of, it's sort of a hybrid, like a legal advice issue that is more privileged. But we could discuss the parameters of that.
And I know it's different for different people, depending on what, you know, who's grieving what. But I figured there must be some general.
In terms of the grievance procedure itself, there's several different things that happen if a stakeholder, just in general, as I know the department can probably
like
answer
this
better.
If
it's a stakeholder,
reminded.
It's my understanding they can file a grievance through the grievance portal. Is that correct?
Yes, we can provide you a link. Gracie Liu, General Manager for the Department of Empowerment. Commissioner Atkinson, we can provide you the link to the grievance portal, and it's very clear on what you can file.
Oh, you mean go on the website?
Yes. we can print that page out for you and give it to you. But it's in essence.
So there is a page on the website that talks about what the.
Yes, there's actually a flow chart. There's you know, like what they can file for. And board members can't file against each other, an individual.
Say that again.
Board members or stakeholders can't file against an individual board member. It has to be an action just considered of the board. So if the board violated their bylaws or commission rules or city rules, then the grievance panel can look at that. If it's like state rules, like that's totally different. They can't look at that. If it's something that's
explained on the
mm-hmm.
Okay.
If it's personnel related, they can't look at that, which is what you were talking about, protected classes. That's something that personnel looks at.
So if a person is at a neighborhood council, and they are either talked down, yelled at, or done whatever by the president of the neighborhood council, or the president of the neighborhood council is yelling at his own board members and not letting them participate as they should, is that a grievable offense?
No, because more than likely that it would be someone trying to file a grievance against an individual, such as the president. So that wouldn't be allowed because it's not against individuals.
But it's from one board. A stakeholder can't do it. It's from one board member to another board member?
No. Stakeholder can't. Like either stakeholder or board member could not file that grievance.
Against an individual?
Right. Okay. It's looking at board actions.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Except it's too far away. I can't. It's too little.
So it's this date. So Lillian did pull it up. It's yes.
I will look it up.
Yeah, and right.
Age-related macular degeneration.
Yes.
Will hit you at some point.
Yes. I am very empathetic. So what Commissioner Atkinson is talking about is like a violation of the code of conduct, And the commission did look at trying to do a second part for their code of conduct policy, and that never was completed because of the overlap with personnel on protected class issues. That's something that the commission can look at again, like the consequences if you violate the code of conduct.
Yeah, that's one thing I knew about the protected
class.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's very difficult because folks don't distinguish between what is being said versus the conduct of it, and they want, and sometimes they want us to come in and punish what is being said. But if a board member is saying that during their a lot of time to comment, and then it's told, okay, now you have to stop because your time is up, and they stop, then they can say what they want to say. It's only when it goes to conduct where they're disrupting the meeting and issues like that's when we can look at trying to intercede. But the First Amendment rights thing starts getting a little difficult.
And the other thing on the leadership development, that would kind of be up to the neighborhood council to use their budget if they wanted to bring in a leader, if they wanted to bring in a person to do leadership training, that would be up to the neighborhood council, I would assume. On the department side, is there any money set aside for that kind of training, for that kind of leadership training from outside sources, professional?
We do.
Mediators, I guess, is the best way to...
Well, I need you to define leadership, because we do advocacy training with the Pat Brown Institute under Civic University. We do Ignite LA. Are you talking about, like, when you say leadership training, it sounds like you're talking about mediation, which is different. So are you talking about mediation training?
Between problems between people in a neighborhood council. I remember I had one of my neighborhood councils, and Tom did a really good job of going in and you know, kind of covering what some of their problems were. But then again, you know, that's not what he's trained to do, but he did it, and when he did it, it was a good job, except it didn't last.
Yeah.
So that people didn't take it, like, really serious. And I'm just wondering, again, I was looking at some stuff from, not from Avis Ridley Thomas, but some of her stuff, talking about how you put together a mediation and how you bring the parties together. They're not getting along, and there's a step-by-step process. And I could actually share it with you. Maybe the department could do it. And it really worked well in a lot of places in the community, and that's why Days of Dialogue, that's what it's called. And she's done some public ones, but they've also done some, and I call it mediation, between aggravated parties that need to get along. And I'm just impressed with a lot of issues are solved when you have that kind of leadership training that we really don't have. And these neighborhood councils, you know, I've always said I thought they would be mad at the board, you know, at the board all the time for putting on big rules, but oftentimes they're mad at each other and not getting along. And it's really difficult to understand. But it's not difficult to understand because some people come in there and they all think they're leaders anyway, but they've never had real leadership training. And so I was just concerned. So I figured I could talk to my neighborhood councils if they wanted to do it individually, but I was just wondering if there was a kind of a department thing where you could have a mediator come in on some big problems, you know, maybe avoid grievance stuff and just bring on real bad neighborhood council issues, bring people together to try to solve the problem.
I would say, at least you're in city attorney, maybe at least.
But, huh?
I need to,
hold
I
on just a second.
Really quick. Can I go?
Oh, okay. I have to interrupt just for a minute because you have to go, right?
I just need to use the restroom, but very quickly.
Just take a quick recess.
Can I? Because I know I'm.
Yeah, we.
Warm. Can I?
That's fine. Or.
Just a quick recess.
Say that again.
Just do a quick recess.
Yeah, we need a quick reset.
Like 2 minutes.
We're going to take a recess for 2 minutes.
Okay. There
we go. Oh, you meant you didn't have to leave. You just meant you had to
no,
go.
No, she just has to go.
Okay, we're back. But I forgot where we were. You were getting ready to give me an opinion on something.
I was going to say, Lee Sheridan, city attorney, we handle many times, like, on a weekly basis, we get several issues of conflict situations in every kind of scenario. And depending, and I wish I could say blanket how it's all treated, but everything has to be treated in a different manner. So, for instance, the department does conduct their own kind of mediation in a way. I wouldn't call it mediation, but they sit down and they meet with board members or when they have a conversation.
I agree, and I know that you guys do that, and I see it differently. I mean, I understand, and that's still from a legal standpoint and still coming in and still seeing the city attorney, and I'm thinking more on a personal level, I guess because I use leadership development. I keep talking about how, I had this program at USC with women. And so we do leadership development in a different way and not in a necessarily all the legalese that goes with it, but a real more personal a personal approach that that has worked. And I just thought it would be nice to try it. But, again, I can do what – and I haven't, but I can do, say I can go to my own neighborhood councils and say, look, here's a good idea. Do you want to do it? And I could ask the Alliance. If it works, I'll come back and tell you all.
Well, Commissioner, and just briefly, what you're saying also could be a board dynamic training.
Yeah.
And that could be a leadership training as well for the chair to be able to control. Sometimes we do recommend that kind of a thing, too.
Yeah, but sometimes, I'm not even talking about control, because in mediation you really talk about what two sides bring to the solution of a problem, and it's not necessarily that the chairman has to learn how to control. It's a matter of the chairman having to learn how to use the talents of people a little bit better than they ordinarily do. And there is a difference. There is a difference in the approach. How's the board going to control anything? It's more like how maybe you can control, but you control through consensus and compromise and recognizing the talents of the people on your neighborhood council. And I just thought it was worth a try to maybe, test it out and see if there's some way to do that kind of leadership training rather than this is the rule and this is what you do and this is what happens if you don't do it. I wasn't looking at that. We do that, and that's fine. But I was just thinking more of a personal dynamic that I've seen work. I do it differently in our leadership that we do at USC, but what I was talking about with Avis Ridley Thomas, she does it a little bit different, but it's all personal. It's all a personal approach on how you bring people together. And maybe it won't work. Neighborhood councils are very individual, so, it might not. But I'm just wondering if that approach somehow could be considered by the department. I know it can be considered by neighborhood councils because I've been to some of my neighborhood councils' retreats, and they've actually had a mediator come in at the retreat and talk about, leadership stuff that works for a time. I wanted to see it more. It can be at retreat, but the leadership development I was thinking of takes a little bit more time than a one-day retreat. So that was just my opinion. Ray.
Commissioner Regalado, the capacity in which I feel with the County of Los Angeles is I oversee the countywide dispute resolution program, which one of our contract agencies is the city attorney's office. We do have conflict resolution people. The city attorney's office actually has trained volunteers to do dispute resolution, but as it was stated earlier,
that's where Avis Ridley Thomas got started. Was in this.
She did, yeah. Currently, dispute resolution is more of a one-on-one dynamic that goes along, and I think that type of dynamic is something that takes place outside public scrutiny, outside. I think what you were alluding to, City Attorney, that when you address an issue like that, you've already come into a realm of probably a heightened level of dispute between two parties, and those two parties need to be able to resolve them among themselves. But what I'm also listening or hearing from you is that there may be a need to be able to understand a level of group dynamics, and within those group dynamics, there are skill sets that you can help you look at de-escalation skills, you know, by the leadership that talks about how you can actually de-escalate, you know, maybe very passionate discussion going on within within you know a meeting dynamic, and those things I think is probably very appropriate to teach on a you know on a group level, which we've you know we have even did a de-escalation skill building a couple of years ago at the neighborhood Congress of Neighborhood probably about 3 or 4 years ago we did it out of our department we did it.
I need to do it every year.
Well, I mean, it's available, but I think in the realm of leadership development, I think everyone could probably benefit from learning how to de-escalate, you know, these types of situations, because even if it's not happening at a neighborhood council level, you know, it could be happening. Well, you know, board meeting, it could be happening in committees. It could be happening, you know, when they're having public forums and things like that.
That's probably closer to what I was trying. Yeah, that's probably closer to what I was trying to try to get at. But one other thing, and maybe it would be, yes, is to avoid de-escalation and kind of do it in a kind of group dynamic, and I agree to that, and that probably is closer to what I was trying to get at with serious problems. But even in leadership development and not so serious problems, just when folks come in when we're at USC, we do a leadership assessment of folks, and they do that, you know, that Montgomery test where you decide what kind of leader are you? Are you an upfront leader? Are you a leader that's in the background? Are you the Are you a communication leader? Or, you know, there's different ways that you can lead. And I'm thinking that sometimes that kind of training would be useful, too, because it might be able you might be able to recognize the talents of your members on your board. So that, to me, that's all leadership training. And you're right, not in a that's not even dealing with de-escalation. That's just trying to get your board together when they come into office, and recognize talents. One of the examples that I use is one of the neighborhood councils. I guess I can mention it. It's Park Mesa, and they elected a president, and she must have quit like 2 months later. She was kind of bossy and everything. Anyway, she quit, and the vice president took over. Well, he was well liked. He didn't know whether he wanted to take over, but he did, and he's really a nice guy, and he ended up is still the president, and that's been several years. And it's just a matter of having a smart person who just didn't know how to bring people together, just didn't know how to recognize the talents of their membership, and I just figured there must be some way to deal with that, you know.
I'm sorry to interrupt the leader,
but anyway,
the attorney. If I could make a recommendation, this is going into a much broader topic, obviously, than what's on the before. So if you'd like at some point to put this as an agenda item to have a discussion and options on different training scenarios, maybe get a report from the department, and then we could go into this a little further.
And you said you were gonna, Gracie, you said you could tell me what you've been doing. So,
so this way maybe it would be something that others obviously in the audience would like to comment on, and people out in the community as well. So that would be my recommendation at this point. Thank you.
Well, I move that we adjourn.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Steve says yes.
Sorry, I monopolized.
No.